Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat. Today is Friday, November 20th.
Bitcoin is holding at an amazingly great number, 18,745, up 3.6% since yesterday. Ethereum cracked 500 today. It has been a long time coming. It cracked 500, is up at 512 right now, up 5.5%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. And you can always check us out on Twitter at The DeFi Daily. All right, up first, wallets holding at least one Ethereum hit an all-time high as Ethereum crosses 500, as Pat just said.
A record 1.17 million Ethereum addresses hold over one ETH yesterday. That's awesome. I mean, I talk about this a lot. This is not a perfect sign of users. So I would not say that this means that there's 1 million users out there. I actually think it's still quite a bit lower. It's quite a bit lower than that. Especially when you look at like exchanges and different people like that. But let's call it like a 10x magnification. I know I certainly have probably 10 Ethereum addresses floating around. So let's say that's 100,000 really solid users of Ethereum using it on a relatively regular basis. That is spectacular, super exciting. Everyone should be very bullish on this news. Ethereum is picking up, is getting dragged along with the Bitcoin wave. Bitcoin's making the news. Bitcoin was all over the news yesterday. People's grandmothers were calling them and saying CNBC, is talking about this. So Bitcoin is way up, but getting pulled along with that is obviously going to be Ethereum because it's just such a monumental part of this. So very exciting across the board. We're all pumped over here.
Great. And sticking with Ethereum, so the amount of ETH locked in DeFi has declined.
Yeah, so this is super interesting, right? So as we've seen, the number went from about 9 million ETH locked in DeFi to about 7.7 million ETH locked in DeFi. I think there's a few things here. One is money moving out of Uniswap. Straight up, easy, 57% drop earlier this month. Uniswap was easily the biggest DeFi TVL store value, I think you would call it. And so that's sort of a really easy one to look at. This was a sweep away from Uniswap. But other things here, this is obviously a sweep towards just holding straight Ethereum. A lot of the locked value in Ethereum gives you exposure to other assets that maybe you don't want right now. Maybe people really do want to have just straight exposure to Bitcoin and Ethereum. And so you're seeing a move away from, farming pools of Pickle and AV and moves towards just straight either farming pools of Ethereum and WBTC or just moving straight into BTC and Ethereum. So this is notable, but it's I wouldn't say it's unexpected. I wouldn't say it's the end of DeFi at all. I think it's pretty much to be expected.
Yeah. Okay, great. So AV, Compound, and MakerDAI are all lending out huge sums of money. There's now $3 billion in outstanding crypto loans in DeFi.
That's crazy. Like I almost have like no comment on this because it's just so crazy. The overall market for institutional, for retail lending in the U.S. is in the trillions of dollars. I mean, literally, it's in the trillions of dollars if you look at the world. So $3 billion is a drop in the bucket. And so essentially this is, you probably would more compare it to like secured retail lending because that's what all this is for the most part. But it's a drop in the bucket. But it is substantial. I mean, this is a lot of people putting money to work. Like that's what people are trying to do is they want to keep their exposure to Ethereum or Bitcoin, but they want to be able to use their funds for other things. So that's what we're seeing here. Super exciting. $3 billion is a huge, huge, huge milestone. We'll do a follow up where we actually drill into where the funds are being held and which of these has the majority of that, because this is super interesting.
All right. Next, AV is launching a money market in partnership with a Swiss banking company.
Yeah. So a company called Cresco Fin was already doing a insured money market product, which would to say it's a kind of a guaranteed or a high guarantee rate of return for product for investments with insurance on it. And the insurance was provided by Lloyd's of London. You know, this is interesting. I think one thing I would mention here is there's a few things I'd mention here. One is you're not going to end up with a truly DeFi product if you have insurance. The mechanism they're using is that you basically deposit money and you get these, you know, insured tokens back. At the end of the day, if the tokens are insured in such a way where if I lost my wallet, I could get access to them, that implies centralization. So this is not particularly decentralized. If they're not implied in that way, then insurance matters absolutely not at all. So, like, what the point of having an insured money market deposit, that if you could lose your own coins, lose access to it, is essentially nonsensical. But that's kind of one part of it. But, you know, drilling down, let's say that you kind of go through this and you securely hold your own coins and they look like they're insuring through Lloyd's of London. One of the reasons that people haven't done this is that Lloyd's of London for insuring this type of product is extremely expensive. So right now, these guys are not actually you can't go to their website and deposit money. You can't go to the website and put money into one of these asset accounts. I think that they are rolling it out slowly, but I also think that they're going to have really difficult insurance premiums over the course of time. Like that's been the nature of crypto, is that you can't insure crypto at a rate where you could be doing a 1.5% return on it. So maybe that's kind of part of the trick here, is they're going to be arbitraging. You know, AVE tends to have higher than 1.5%. They do tend to have like 6-10% return on all of their investments. So maybe that's kind of the idea here, is you arbitrage the yield farming and all the other asset classes to pay for the insurance premium. But last time I looked, I mean, it was, you know, 10% was not unreasonable for Lloyd to be charging for insurance for this kind of stuff over certain periods of time. So I don't know. This to me is interesting. I think it's a little bit of a fluff PR piece until they're really accepting deposits. Oh, the other thing to note is they also had really weird constraints around removing funds. So you had to do a 1 month, heads up before you could remove your funds from the asset class. So none of this feels like a bank account. This all feels like kind of a little bit of DeFi manipulation, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to watch over time. And it is, Switzerland obviously does a good job regulating these companies. So that can give you a little bit more trust in this, but just because you're regulated doesn't mean that you're honest. So, it'll be interesting to watch this.
All right, definitely. All right, next. After its $6 million flash loan hack, Value DeFi is turning to Chainlink for help.
Yeah, I think that this is a pure fluff piece. Chainlink does not solve these problems. Like Chainlink, using an Oracle to help with your pricing can solve certain things. It helps you as a individual investor, someone that's going out to make trades on a exchange. What you want to do is you want to use an Oracle to figure out a good price that you are not going to slip below or above on that. That does not. So they might be using it for that kind of thing. So you can basically bake in some amount of protection, some slippage protection into your protocol by using Chainlink to set a minimum price. But Chainlink by itself does not solve arbitrage problems. Like there are a million different ways that you, and sort of these flash loan attacks, there are a lot of different ways that you can essentially still exploit a smart contract like this, especially one like Value that had quite a bit of complexity in it, a lot of different pools. There are a lot of ways that you can exploit these, even if you have Chainlink kind of backstopping some of the losses. So I think that this was a very fluffy PR move based on the organization trying to stay, you know, get ahead of, like, I don't know, trying to respond to the incredibly bad news of having a $6 million hack. This is a great thing. Like, hey, we're partnering with the biggest company in DeFi, Chainlink, and we're going to be secure now. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, that is not flash loan attacks they're only somewhat mitigated using Oracle services. So especially, you know, Chainlink only has some amount of coverage for pricing coverage for the various assets that were even backing Value. So I don't know. This is a fluffy piece, but hey, you know, more security around flash loan attacks is better. So this is good.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily, and have a great weekend.
All right. Take it easy.